You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're going to be talking about free speech. We get to talk and you get it for free. Free speech.
Okay.
That's what it's about. No, it's not about that. It has to do with the implication of free speech in our lives. Should it be protected? Should it not be protected? When should it be protected? And what is the mental benefit of trying to reach for free speech, meaning the benefit of using free speech in our society? Is there a mental and health benefit? What do you think?
Maybe work.
Could be. So a lot of times I like surprising Lisette with some of the subjects we talk about.
Yeah, please, because we're planning something in the morning and then shoom.
Just changes.
Free speech.
Free thinking. I'm a free thinker. I'm a little stinker. I'm a free thinker. All right, here we go. So let's go on into it. Today's show will be free speech and censorship. When should we censor? Disinvited speakers and impact. Free speech in social media. And how free speech benefits mental health. A lot of what we do in our research is we'll go on the internet, we'll look into research, we'll look into books, we'll look into articles, what's in the news, and we try to come up with stories that are interesting. A lot of the information that we get back is that first filter of the AI and then the second filter in in-depth research on us. But this is a new research technique that we've been using, which is kind of interesting because I'll be like having conversations with the AI. I'm like, no, that's not what I'm looking for. And then I'm like, ah, give up. I'm going to go find it myself.
Yeah.
Because the AI is only as good as the information that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't have the questions that you have in your mind.
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, what?
We are working that.
Are you an AI?
Yeah, I am.
I am
but
AI.
It's an IIA.
IIA.
Because it's Spanish.
Oh. Yoy. Soy? What is it? Soy?
Yo soy inteligencia.
Yo soy AI. AI. How we react with the world shows much about our potential for intimate relationships. So the way you interact with the world and its opinions and views can be an indication of how you interact with the views of your intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, you have to develop the skill for have a good communication. And when we talk, sometimes the person that you talk have different opinion. And mm-hmm. this is not mean that you stop to talk with this person because thinking different.
It can potentially strengthen your own belief because as you listen more, you can then have a conversation that may build your own self-awareness into why your own beliefs are what they are.
Yeah, well, one technique is be curious because when you believe that you know everything, so your attitude is, oh, I know that what he say, what she say. So be curious to try to feel, maybe I learned something in this conversation.
Why is that?
There you go. Quickly.
Why? Learn quickly. The disinvitation of speakers and implementation of safe space policies have highlighted the tension between academic freedom and respect for diversity. Protests against campus speakers underscore the challenges of ensuring open dialogue in educational settings. And has a question for us is, how can universities balance the need for free speech with creating an inclusive environment?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a university will want to welcome different points of view so the students can appreciate, learn to understand what points of view other people have. So is there a reason to limit points of view and free speech?
Maybe sometimes if the information is sensible and impact people, maybe you limit that because you don't want impact.
So insensitive. And I think that's one of the points that the the question is leading to, is that if you're trying to create an inclusive environment, then therefore thoughts and opinions that try to not be inclusive, they're trying to exclude people, may be seen as not being a welcomed opinion. The point, I guess, would be is, but maybe you want to listen to it to understand why they're making that, to be able to refute it and to have arguments against it. I guess that's the point. Here we're going to talk about some disinvited people. So disinvited speakers from university campuses. Here are four, and I'm going to go out of the slide for a minute because I need to explain this. I asked AI, give me four examples of disinvited speakers, just the names. And AI, this is chat something or other, I can't remember what it is, gave me these four. I didn't choose them, I let it choose it. And there'll be a reason I'm saying this as we go on. So now let's come up with the four that it gave us. It gave us Ann Coulter, who's a conservative commentator who was disinvited from speaking at the University of California, Berkeley, in 2017, and of course on other occasions, because the fear of violent protests from people who didn't want to hear her. And then there's another person by Milo Yiannopoulos, who is a right-wing speaker, a former senior editor for Breitbart News. This person, Milo, was disinvited from the University of California, Berkeley. Oh, also same place. After violent protests, so not because of the fear of them, but because actual violent protests that protested this person coming. And then Ayan Hirsi Ali, who is a critic of Islam, an advocate for women's rights, was disinvited from speaking at Brandeis University in 2014, following a campaign by students and faculty. And finally, after having these sort of conservative people who were disinvited, I really went after, is there a liberal, is there a progressive who's been disinvited from universities? And guess what? There had been. Not that there was only one, but this was one that I found by the name of Dan Kalb. Dan is a liberal, progressive environmental activist who advocates clean energy in combating climate change. But Dan was disinvited from speaking on campus at UC Berkeley again after students complained he was pro-Israel. So I don't want to learn about pro-climate or pro-environmental stuff because of this person's view that they have on Israel. Interesting thing. So even the liberal progressive person who was disinvited, they were disinvited for reasons that had nothing to do with their view on the topic they wanted to talk about.
That's the typical question for somebody paint a beautiful, you know, picture, and the person have different beliefs that you have. Do you like the picture?
That's a good question. Yeah. And I know we've talked about that. Like if you know a singer that or a band and they've got great music, then all of a sudden you heard the lead singer talking at one of their concerts about something political that you are like on the opposite side of
the
spectrum.
Belief of these people, yeah.
Or the belief, or they believe in some religion and you're like, oh, that's not my religion. Do you suddenly dislike their music? Not listen to it anymore? What do you do? I don't know. But that is an interesting one. So this is a couple of more interesting things about, I know we just talked about the University of California, Berkeley, a number of times. The far worst place that was recognized in the 2024 College Free Speech Rankings had to be Harvard University, but let's start off with, there is a Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression does a College Pulse surveying 55,102 students across 254 colleges. The best colleges, and you can look on the screen, but if you, it's too small for you to read anyway, were Michigan Technology University. It leads the rankings with Auburn University, the University of New Hampshire, Oregon State University, Florida State University. They were the top five schools. The bottom five schools, that is, out of these 254 colleges, the ones that were in that bottom five, and which is kind of interesting because I have actual the next numbers here, and they don't seem to correspond that, because I guess there were some that were tied, but this came right out of their list. We're looking at it was Harvard was the worst, the abysmal worst for speech climate.
Wow.
And they were followed by the University of Pennsylvania, which is close to where we are, University of South Carolina, Georgetown University, and Fordham University. So to show you those, and I don't want you to look at the numbers next to their names. I don't know why they're wrong. But you had the bottom five were Fordham, Georgetown, University of South Carolina, University of Pennsylvania, and Harvard University. And what that meant was the climate for free speech at those schools was bad, meaning if somebody came in with a differing point of view, the students protested, the teachers protested, and the school shut down the speech before it happened.
Like a cult. Oops, sorry.
It could be. Here's some more information on it. We can, this is one on Harvard specifically, and I'm not going to say whether these things are good or bad, I just want to say what they are. Students at Harvard undergo training that fat phobia and cis heterosexism, and this is the first time I actually heard that word, was today, cis heterosexism, are violence. Using someone's wrong pronouns is abuse, and any words lowering a person's self-worth. Sorry. Using someone's wrong pronouns is abuse, and any words lowering a person's self-worth are abusive. Speakers are disinvited for having the wrong opinion on gender issues or other topics. Conservative students are denied admission for offensive social media posts made years before, and protests threatening Jewish students were found allowable. And that's all been in the news recently. The student that was accepted, but then they went back to a post the student had done when they were 16 years old, they saw a post that was conservative, which went against the school policy, and they, once the student was already accepted, they said, oh, sorry, you can't come in. Because a differing view than the accepted point of view. I looked at a chart of what they teach and the training of what they do. All students have to go through a training, which is about power and control. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It has to do with bullying. It has to do with being inclusive. And the chart that is part of that is this. It's direct from their training. This came out of USA Today, which had a picture of the chart, but it talks about racism, sexism, misogyny, ableism, transphobia, and xenophobia, plus a whole bunch of other things, which on the surface, it actually seems like it's a good training. It's trying to make sure people are inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bullying.
Yeah.
They're not treating people poorly. It's trying to be, again, inclusive. So it seems good, but when taken to the next step, which is if anyone doesn't share your opinion on anything, don't let them talk.
Mm-hmm.
And violently protest, which was the other piece, which doesn't make sense. But in any case, what other things do we have here? So here are some things that influence the low ranking and high ranking. So high ranking institutions excel in tolerance for difference. And high-ranking institutions excel in tolerance for difference and low incidences of disruptive conduct. Bottom-ranked schools show bias towards allowing controversial liberal speakers over conservative ones and accept disruptive protests to halt speeches. Lastly, deplatforming attempts at the bottom five schools have an 81% success rate, indicating a challenging environment for free speech. Now let's dissect that a little bit. Deplatforming means somebody was invited to speak, and then people protest and they take them, they remove the platform, you know, they don't allow them to speak. Mm-hmm. So 81% of attempts to deplatform speakers that students disagreed with or faculty disagreed with were successful at those bottom schools, bottom from a free speech standpoint.
Okay.
Now, the point being of being maybe more accepting of liberal versus conservative, I may be able to understand from a standpoint of maybe the liberal speakers are more inclusive, and they're trying to create an atmosphere of welcoming everyone, whereas the conservative may be more narrow in saying, no, these things are wrong. And so because of the nature of their speech, mm-hmm. one may be seen as more welcomed.
Yeah.
But the question I have is why at these schools, some of them being very good schools, do they limit the speech more so than at other schools?
Maybe they have more information than we have.
Oh, they're smarter people. That's it. That's the answer. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about smarter people. Now, we're going to be talking more about free speech and the impact it has on us, our lives, and our mental health.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about free speech. We were talking about free speech on campuses. What do you think the students feel based upon how their schools are?
It depends, because they depend of the person is the speaker and the topic and feel is fair or not fair to allow to talk or not.
Okay, so let's say after the speaker does or does not talk, just normal every day on campus, mm-hmm. Do the students feel free to express their beliefs, or do you think they feel more, I better hold my beliefs in because I don't want to be canceled?
I guess the second one.
It can be a combination of both. It depends mm-hmm. on what the belief is. So over half the students, 56%, worry about reputational damage due to misunderstandings of their own words or actions. A significant portion of students, about a quarter, feel pressured to avoid controversial topics in class, with 20% often self-censoring. And a quarter of students report frequent self-censorship in various academic settings, indicating an increase in self-censorship since the start of their college experience. So instead of developing an open mind in mm-hmm. college, they're starting to shut their mind down. Now, self-censorship is a good thing also.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn to say things that are kind mm-hmm. and learn when something you're about to say is maybe something you shouldn't say. Platforms like Twitter and Facebook have become battlegrounds for political debates, influencing elections and public opinion through algorithms and targeted ads. The Cambridge Analytica scandal illustrated the potential for misuse of user data in political campaigns, raising questions about privacy and consent. So mm-hmm. what should a social media platform do to make sure that there is fair political discourse and not infringing on free speech? It's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Depends who programmed the algorithm.
So in a general setting, if you were at the public square, people would just be yelling what they feel at each other, right? And there is no censorship.
Yeah.
Until you get to a point of, what is it calling, instigating violence or something. At that point, that's where, you know, you can't do that.
Or depend how you complain. You remember when I tried to put the picture there, I complained one hotel. and Google delete my picture.
Oh, so
money is involved also.
Yeah, so someone tried to post a picture of being bitten by bed bugs.
In one hotel
in Google review, and for some reason the platform would not allow her to post the picture. And it wasn't like a picture of a private area. No. It was an arm. Like, here, look. And this is what bed bugs look like. And the social media platform, or the platform, Google.
Yeah, Google.
I'm saying Google. It was Google?
Yes, Google.
Said, oh, you can't post that. Why? Oh, because you can't. Because money's involved.
It's Hilton Hotel. That is the reason.
Because they give us millions of dollars of advertising every year, and you can't do something like that.
You bring your dog first for catching the bug before your skin.
You bring someone else's dog. High-profile incidents involving public figures losing jobs or sponsorships over controversial statements have sparked debate on the balance between accountability and free expression. For instance, the canceling of J.K. Rowling for her comments on gender identity highlights the complex dynamics of social justice and speech freedoms. Is there a way to navigate cancel culture that respects both social accountability and the rights to free speech?
Mm-hmm.
So if I remember correctly, she was first attacked for having a character in a story that portrayed, I believe, a trans person as a killer. She wants to have her own opinion and own views on social media and in her books on just how she feels. So she doesn't feel it's fair, I guess, that somebody who dislikes what she says can say you can't say it.
Exactly.
This was sparked by her comments on gender identity. She has faced backlash, including accusations of transphobia, public condemnations, and boycotts. Her situation illustrates the tension between advocating for sensitive gender issues and respecting free speech rights. When is somebody's free speech right hurtful? And when should it not be allowed? So these we're not looking to answer these questions as much as ask them.
Yeah.
And we do want to talk about at the end of this why free speech does help you in your thought process. Because even navigating these questions of should we not, as if you have an open mind to both, that we should not allow it all the time for certain reasons, and in other cases we should allow it and understand the differences and when we need to protect it, then it lets you have critical thinking.
Yeah.
The challenges that she has seen, the impact on free speech, is that it highlights the challenges of navigating offensive speech and potentially chilling effects of cancel culture. Where does criticism end and harassment start? And the broader implication on this is the case underscores the importance of dialogue that respects both protected individual rights and free speech principles without resorting to silencing tactics or violence or arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to have dialogue in order to avoid all of that. J.K. Rowling talks to an audience of millions and millions of people who read her books.
Yeah.
And so her impact is much more delicate.
Significant.
Or significant. Significant. Yeah. I guess that is true. Future of free speech. What do you think the future is?
Be quiet.
Nobody should say anything about anyone. Don't even mention the weather. It's a day out today. Are you sure? Maybe there's an eclipse. Be careful. That's how it works. The fight against information. Oh, I like this. This is the fight against misinformation. You know how, like, who is it? Facebook and Twitter and others have to make sure, or were making sure a lot, and you've seen this in the news, that misinformation wasn't getting out to the general public, especially something that could harm people.
Mm.
So, for instance, the rapid spread of COVID-19 misinformation on platforms like Facebook demonstrated the real-world consequences of unchecked speech. efforts by the platforms to label or remove false information, especially during the U.S. presidential elections, have also ignited debates over censorship and the role of tech companies in moderating content. Question: how can digital platforms effectively combat misinformation while preserving the principle of free speech? It's tough, huh?
It's tough, yeah.
Because it will try to block something that it thinks is misinformation, and it turns out maybe it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it isn't misinformation, but it's harmful and hurtful if people all of a sudden use that information for something.
Yeah, yeah. I remember COVID, like the song kind of, the treatment, you know, the bad treatment for that, and people follow the treatment.
Yeah.
And
Or there's treatments that are said are bad, which were actually good treatments.
Yeah.
And
that's
then you look at, like, who's making the money? Is the pharmaceutical company making the money by having this blocked?
Yeah.
Who's advertising? You know, if the social media companies are getting $1 billion of advertising from a major drug company, maybe they're really sensitive of allowing information out that may be harmful.
Mm-hmm.
To whom? Harmful to people or harmful to
economy,
the drug
business,
people?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're just asking the questions. We are not going to be driving into any parking lots by ourselves soon. So they wanted to limit problems of misinformation during COVID, also during the presidential election. The lab leak theory was out there early on. And the further investigations into the viruses or origins, it became more possible that it was true. And then social media adjusted their policies and started to allow the stories out. So Facebook announced in May of 2021 that it would no longer remove claims about COVID-19's potential lab origin from its platforms, reflecting the evolving nature of the discussion, the scientific inquiry into the virus's origin. So maybe they, what they did was good all the way, that at first was like, no, there's no way. And then as it became possible, okay, now it's out.
Yeah.
But early on, it was seen as something that could aggravate the relationship between countries. Mm. It was seen as being xenophobic.
Yeah.
It was seen as...
Yeah.
So, again, whether it's the right thing or not the right thing to do, or you got to let all speech and just let the public sort it out, I have a hard time with either way.
Yeah, we feel in, and we know how it impacts the people, how many people die, so you feel in.
Yeah. So you're like, you know what? I want people to be as safe as possible, even if I'm doing to the best of my knowledge the right thing, and it turns out to be the wrong thing. So I'm not trying to excuse, but trying to understand why things were done in certain order.
Yeah.
And if it was purposefully done in an effort to hurt people versus purposefully done in an effort to save people, you know.
Who knows? Next.
Who knows? So we'll talk about the Hunter Biden laptop very, very, very quickly. It was put out as a hoax everywhere. It was put out as a hoax and blocked on social media. And then later on, it was turned out to be true information. This is another story that was judged as misinformation, was kept off platforms, and then now is allowed on as it is apparently true.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, are there other things that are being blocked? Somebody's safety record with some vehicle that you don't see any stories about it. They've been stopped. Or it said, oh, it's pilot error.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or the driver who drove accidentally into the lake with their vehicle, it's driver error. It wasn't the... Remember, this was years ago. I'm not talking about recent ones. Years ago, there was a car brand, which I'm not even going to make up at this point or say. Actually, it's two different ones that this happened with, where cars just started accelerating on their own. And people were getting in accidents. But, you know, was it driver error? Was it not? How about airbags? There's a giant airbag recall because they were going off on their own.
Yeah.
Again, at first, oh, no, it's just random. It's an accident. They must have hit something. And it turns out that you get 10 million airbags recalled. Would that have been blocked on social media if it was more recent? privacy, security, and free speech on digital platforms. I think we're going to talk more about that when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate, as well as, you know what we're going to talk about? Mental health and free speech.
Good.
Being able to discuss all these topics and be open-minded enough not to close the door on any potential theory can lead to better mental thought processes, as well as expand your point of view. And we'll talk about that when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Tim.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about free speech, all these different things, and then we're talking about, what is it? Mental health and free speech. Last thing we want to talk about on censorship is the global perspective on free speech and censorship. So contrasting approaches to free speech, like China's Great Firewall, like they're not allowing things to get through into their country from other countries, right? And Europe's hate speech laws, which we just talked about with J.K. Rowling, that this reflect diverse global landscape of expression. Don't let something through at all, or if something gets through and it turns out to be something you don't like, it becomes a law and you can get arrested for it and prosecuted. The case of Twitter removing content at the behest of authoritarian governments versus its stance in democratic countries illustrates the complex interplay between business interests and free speech values. So when some of these platforms try to operate in other countries, they have to follow the rules of the country. And if it's an authoritarian country and they say, you can't have this content in our country, they have to decide from a business standpoint, do I still want to go in, have the name of the company in there, but follow the rules of the country, or do I want to allow the free speech? How can international norms and regulations be developed to protect free speech in the digital age across different political regimes? So that's a tough one. One is, how can all these countries have different views on the world give free speech to everyone? What do you think?
About from Venezuela, free speech.
No, don't say anything. So the point is that it would be great if there was free speech worldwide, but then who would be the purveyor of free speech? Who would say what's good and what's bad and what's harmful?
Yeah.
What you believe is inclusive and good in your country may be considered exclusive and harmful in another country.
Yeah.
And back and forth and vice versa. Finally, free speech. Well, this is what we wanted to talk about. This is the payoff, right?
Yeah.
So all that upfront, I'll call it garbage on what, you know, what's inclusive, what's not. Colleges shutting down, newspapers shutting down, people, countries putting laws together on what you can and cannot say. Free speech and mental growth. Free speech fosters learning and personal growth by allowing us to externalize and evaluate our thoughts, leading to potential changes in beliefs. So some actions we can do for this mental growth, start journaling to express your thoughts freely and reflect on them. Even if you don't want to talk to someone else about your thoughts, journal. Mm-hmm. Write about a belief you're questioning and consider different perspectives.
Right is pretty good, and also we have the book.
The book about right now, sure.
So you can write, and it's the best therapy for yourself.
So sometimes the first step of not being closed-minded, if you're afraid to express your belief to someone else, is maybe start journaling, maybe your questions about your own belief. maybe what other people think, and then you can research it, kind of like what we do for the show. We mm-hmm. put some stuff down and we research it and we go in deeper and we're expanding.
And we drain and we have a good dinner.
We have a great dinner. So write about a belief you're questioning and consider the different perspectives. Like we said, is that when you look at the different perspectives, you may be more understanding. Maybe you'll be more inclusive mm-hmm. of thoughts that you thought might have been exclusive.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll exclude some inclusive thoughts. I don't know. It may depend. Maybe you'll just get a better understanding of the opposite point of view. How about this one? Enhancing safe spaces, the second benefit of free speech, is it can improve your safe spaces. By having open dialogue, it can strengthen the safe spaces by making controversial opinions visible, facilitating avoidance or engagement, and enhancing social trust through transparency. So if you know who has a different point of view than you, you can understand where maybe it's not safe for you to be, but at the same time, by having that conversation, maybe you can each learn from each other, and now that area becomes a safe space because you can agree to disagree, mm-hmm. or you can agree to getting back together again and learning more about each other, whether it's culture, race, religion,
Politics,
any of that, is that you say, you know what, I don't know a lot about you and your belief. Can you tell me why you feel that way? Mm-hmm. The challenge is that some people feel that they don't want to listen to an opinion that's not theirs, or do they? Sometimes people don't want to listen to an opinion that's not theirs. But instead of arguing from your point of view, you can ask the questions of, why do you feel that way? How long have you felt that way? Did you always feel this way? What was the first time you felt that way? Did you ever feel different than how you feel now? Understand how they got to being the point of view, or got to have the point of view they have.
Yeah.
So this, the old theory is, don't never judge a person till you walk 1,000 steps in their shoes or something like that, that you walk in the other person's footsteps, that their path of life have led them to where they are on their opinions and on their views, their where they grew up, who they were friends with, what they learned in school, who they were with, what college they went to. That once you understand all that, you can have a better understanding of why they have the views they have.
Yeah.
And everyone has their views, and they believe their views are true, right? They believe their own. They believe their own biases. And when I say bias, it doesn't mean it's wrong or right. It just means it's a perspective that everything fits into. And then as you learn more information, it builds off that. Mm. Remember the question I asked you this morning? Can your brain actually develop a liberal and a conservative point of view at the same time, and can it build both strongly where it can have its own internal dialogue about those two things? Or is that what happens? I don't know. So here are some of the things. We talk about the dialogue, about safe spaces. One of the actions is host a discussion group where diverse opinions are welcomed, or have a book club where controversial themes are explored and discussed openly. Maybe you read a different book on a different subject. What else do we have when it comes to how to grow mentally? Oh, this is another positive of free speech. Mm-hmm. It can reduce anxiety and depression. Being able to express thoughts and feelings can increase control and self-efficacy. Reducing vulnerabilities to anxiety and depression. Sometimes you hold things in and that can make you anxious, right? Mm-hmm. I want to say something. But if you can learn how to express yourself in a non-threatening and non-attack and non-defensive way, in more of a dialogue, that can reduce your anxiety. Practice labeling your feelings and thoughts verbally or in writing. When feeling anxious, articulate the specific worry and what it makes you believe about yourself. So if I'm anxious, if I can articulate why I'm anxious because I'm not in agreement with my wife on the time of day we should eat, but I'm afraid to tell her. So if I say, hey, I'm anxious about talking to you about when we eat dinner, because I know you have your, I think you have a reason for it, but I may be assuming that. Is there a reason that you like eating at 6 p.m.? Mm-hmm. And then when your partner or the person you're talking to starts yelling at you.
What is wrong? Make the food. What the heck?
I knew I shouldn't have said anything. The point is that, is it worse keeping that anxiety for years, or is it better to potentially have a little bit of a difficult discussion but come to a new understanding? Mm-hmm. Maybe expand my point of view, because now I understand that, oh, Lizette has all these things she does all day long, so the soonest that she can be ready to relax and eat with me is 6 p.m. And I go, okay, now I understand this other thing. Now I actually want to eat at 6. I don't want to eat at 5. I'm no longer thinking only about myself. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the other person and why they feel that way, and now I agree with them. Or maybe it's the other way around, is that I've been working all day and I actually had no breakfast and I had no lunch, and that's how my day is. So really, as soon as we can eat, the better.
And you cook.
Is that true? What? What? I can't hear you. Other things is that your authenticity and social support, so it can build the authenticity of yourself by being able to speak freely. Being able to share openly increases your authenticity, helping to deepen social connections and support systems, crucial for mental health. So in one sense, it can make you be authentic with people that maybe you disagree with, but now they may trust you more because they actually understand your position rather than you have no position. Mm-hmm. Or by having opinions about things, it may help you socially meet with people who have similar viewpoints, and maybe you build a little bit of self-esteem because I have people who also believe the way I do. I thought I was by myself. So it can do both. Mm-hmm. The challenge is if you only are meeting with people who feel only like you are, then you're not really expanding yourself mentally. You may be raising your self-esteem, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you may not be expanding your mental thought capacity. Right?
Right.
So a personal story that is shared on social media that reflects your true self is something that you could do. You know, of course, you know, you're going to be vulnerable because someone may post a response to what you post on social media. Post about a challenge you've overcome, focusing on your authentic experience and feelings. Sharing more about yourself is one of the ways to share opinions and share background and share mm-hmm. information that can help someone understand more about you, and perhaps then the way you are, the reasons you are the way you are, and maybe they will respect your opinion more.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Good.
Number 5. We're up to 5 here.
Mm-hmm.
Self-awareness through dialogue. Verbalizing thoughts not only aids in self-reflection, but also in recognizing and discarding maladaptive beliefs. By having a say and clarify what you're saying, you may go, oh my gosh, now I understand that I have been really silly about this and I should be thinking about it this way instead. Engage in a debate or discussion on a topic you feel strongly about, listening to opposing views. For example, participate in a community forum on environmental issues. Express your views and consider others.
Mm-hmm.
Because then maybe you'll learn something about it, rather than, I'm just going to say my... You've ever seen people, they say what they're going to say and then they march out of the room?
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah. That makes me really feel like I want to take on their position. But if they say, hey, I feel this way, this is the reason I feel this way, this is what's led me to feel this way, and you start thinking about it and go, oh, I can see how they were led to feel this way, and if I were in their shoes, I would feel the same way too. That was
and,
it.
Yes, and create some space for negotiation, because yeah. when you are in your belief and your thought and the people is not agree with you, typically that you say you broke and leave and not allowed to say, well, we can talk and create some area that you can negotiate your belief and my belief.
So everyone has a reason they feel the way they feel. They're not mm-hmm. just doing it to argue with you. 99% of the people, they're going to be that 1% out there that will argue with you about everything because that's just how they are.
And this is part also the new we discussed this morning about the media when we grew up is just one direction. So you put the TV.
Yes.
And you receive all information. Maybe you can discuss with your family, but you don't have option to express or freedom to talk. What is your opinion? Right now, you are social media that you have capacity. So you promote this argument or what is it called? The complaint.
Right.
And listen, and then you be in this, be bold that your energy is in this section. Maybe you not change nothing really in the planet. Just make a comment.
Yeah, today we have access to our arguments and we can build our arguments and we can meet with people and we can join groups that only believe what we believe and we can become more and more separated from other groups by only focusing on what we believe in, the thoughts that we feel strongly about. And without the thinking of everybody else who thinks a different way, thinks that way because they have reason to think that way.
Yeah.
Again, we talk about the shoe. You grow up in their shoe, you'd have their same opinion too.
I don't want to be all negative. So we have the good part because, for example, in our show, some people make a comment and we learn from our groups. They say, oh, I like this topic. And then we feel, oh, they connect with this topic. And then we develop it more. And so this also is positive because you have opportunity to see the view from others.
Yes. And when we see questions or we get feedback or mm-hmm. somebody posts something that we see and say, hey, this is interesting. Yeah. And they put your name on it and you go, oh, that is interesting. Yeah. Let me do research on it. And and it opens your view and your thought, your thoughts about it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the number six strength of free speech, it helps you build resilience against negative speech. So learning to distinguish between harmful words and physical danger empowers individuals, teaching resilience in the face of verbal adversity. Again, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, especially if I start to try to learn why you're using the words that you're using. An action you can take is expose yourself to a wide range of opinions, even those you disagree with, and practice responding calmly. This builds resilience. Finally, read an article with an opposing view and then discuss it with a friend. Focus on understanding rather than convincing. So again, like we just said, is if you can understand why the person has the opinion they have, if you're reading an article that goes against your every grain, like this is not how I think about where the information's coming for that article.
Yeah.
Think of how those people got to that opinion. Now, thinking about that, that means if there are opposing views, does that mean all views are wrong? Because like if I have to look at their view and understand how they got to their view,
mm-hmm.
then I'm saying, oh, wait, maybe their view is justified. And then if they do the same thing and look at my view and say, my view is justified. Now, did we just take on each other's views and we're still opposed? Or is there some common ground in those views? What do you think? Not sure.
What in the comment from our followers.
And finally, the steps you can take. What can you take out of today's journey? Today's journey, you can first engage in open conversations. Freely express your thoughts and feelings in a safe and respectful environment. This encourages personal growth and helps in understanding different perspectives. Number two, practice active listening. Listen to others' viewpoints without judgment. This promotes empathy and understanding, enhancing mental well-being by fostering a sense of community and belonging. And finally, reflect and journal. Use free speech as a tool for self-reflection. Write down your thoughts and feelings. It can help you process emotions and help you develop a clearer self-understanding. Free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And the understanding that it is a valuable part of mental development, of emotional intelligence, right? Being able to understand the emotions of a conversation and being able to manage your own emotions to get the best emotional outcome and best outcome from all involved takes the ability to listen to others and to utilize your own free speech.
Yes.
Agree?
I agree.
Have a great week. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.